All right, class, welcome to Church Unusual. Matthew chapter 16. For the sake of rehearsing and rehashing what we talked about, I'll do the reading, chapter 16, verse 13. If you know it or not, people come up with a lot of different, over years and years of tradition, man has come up with a lot of different things that they've called the church, or what's expected of the church, or what should be done. But even in reading this one chapter, and it's so clear, Jesus ends up making it super clear the function of the church, how it should be built, what it is built on, the function of it. And then he ends up showing us the hindrance to the church. All right. And all the hindrance and the function is in us. The functioning of the church is who we are. And the hindrance of that function is in who we are too, depending on which side we choose. Of course, Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Whom say you?" Peter jumped off the porch and answered. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for blessed flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." All right, so now it has to be whatever the function, because he's about to say something in a minute about the church, but whatever the function is, has to be revealed of the Father. It can't be revealed by flesh and blood, or by what you want to do, or what you think needs to be done, or your good ideas. It is only by revelation of the Father. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. All right, build my church. All right, watch this. And the gates, all right, you got to catch the statement now. Y'all weigh my living by the book class, so you understand context. You understand, slowing down and reading it, right? I will build my, upon this rock, I will build my church. Whose church is it? It's Christ's church. Okay, so I don't know how y'all talking about your church. And my church is Christ's church. And it ain't your church unless you're Christ. So you form into Christ, then it becomes, you can take ownership of the church. And watch this. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Now you've heard me, some of y'all may have heard me say this before, some of y'all not. But gates don't move, which means, we always looked at it the wrong way. We always trying to. The Lord told me a few days ago, maybe about a week or so ago. He said that we're too much on the defense and not on the offense. If you know anything about sports, there were some teams that are very, very good defensive teams, but a lot of times defense doesn't put points on the board, right? You can be very, very good defensively, and sometimes it can create points or whatever. But the offense is what scores the points. Even if it's a defensive team playing football. And let's say they get an interception on defense, they still have to run it offensively down the field in order to score, right? Offense puts points on the boards. And so he told me that we as a church have been living in too much defense, trying to defend the faith or defend ourselves from evil or put the walls up around us. It's almost crazy. It makes me think about Jericho. Joshua was outside of Jericho. God says, "See, I've given you Jericho." And he tells him how to do it, to tear the walls down. But it seems like we flipped places, and now we're inside the walls trying to build thick, 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 thick walls, right? So that nobody can get in. No, but he says, you're living too much on the defense and not on the offense. You're not moving forward. Then he proves it here, because gates don't move. So because gates don't move, they're stationary. So if the gates of hell will not prevail, that must mean that we are moving towards the gates of hell, whether we be opening up the gates of hell to free people that are captive, whether we're going into these places that are being tormented and being persecuted and oppressed by the enemy, and they put their worldly gatekeepers around it, right? Whether it's that, however you want to see it, we are moving forward, and the gates can't hold us out from the territory. So now we see the church is mobile. The church is not stationary. The church is not settled down. It is not stationary and it's not homesteading. It's not stationary in one place and doing just this one thing. No, the church is on the move. It's moving forward. It's taking territory. Now remember, now we're not talking about the building. We're talking about the individual that is the church. This is why we gather together, forsake not the assembly of yourselves. We gather together, but once we gather, then we must disperse and take territory. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. It says it shall not prevail. So we see the church is mobile. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, that makes so much sense, too, because one of the ways you open gates a lot of time is having a key. Even if you have these electric gates now where you got to have the code, it's still a key code to open them up. I'll give you the keys so that the gates won't prevail. In other words, you won't have to push them. You don't have to fight and tall and all that. You got the keys. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. What else should the church be doing? See, we're trying to vote, and we're trying to pray, and we're trying to worship, and this is how I fight my battles, and all that's great. Amen. Right? But whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou, you as the church, shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We have not bound enough, and we have not loosed enough. We complain, yeah. We complain, we try to react or respond, but no, we should find out the revelation of what God is saying in verse 18, verse 17 says, reveal, find out what the Father's revealing to us about our day and time that we live in, and begin to bind things and begin to loose things. Now, it tells us this. Jesus has talked to us like this because we can't see. We only see here to heaven. We don't see heaven to here. We don't believe. And Jesus said this like he said, y'all don't know where y'all come from, but I know where I come from. So because of this, a church has turned into we're trying to do things to be the church. When in actuality, we were the church when we were sent here to earth, right? And now we should release who we are. The church, I've said it before, ecclesia. It's ex, come out of, and the other part is being called from an origin. By name, to carry a name, to be called from an origin. You're called out by an origin. You've been called from heaven. God sent you from heaven to establish his kingdom. But the reason he gotta say, whatever thou shalt bind on earth, be bound in heaven, or loose on earth, because we so thinking about leaving here and going to heaven. We never really live from the fact that we come from there. That's where we started. So because we have a one-track mind and we're so afraid of dying, which is crazy. It never fails me how we always say it's a better place, but everybody living so fearful of that. Amen. I digress. We're so thinking about going from here to the heavenly land, not realizing that the heavenly land sent us here. Yeah. Sent us here. So Jesus got to talk to us like this. What are you bound on earth, bound heaven? Now you know, it's not happening in earth what happens in heaven. That kingdom come, that will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Same time, same way. Heaven is full speed ahead of what the earth is. Earth is a mere projection and a follow-up of what heaven is. So he's saying what you bind on earth, bind on heaven, what you loose on earth, loose in heaven. He's just trying to get you to bind some things and loose some things because it's already loosed up there. And it's already bound in heaven. In the mind of God and the way God sees things, it's already bound. It's already loose. It's already done. But I need you to realize, and I need you to say it, and I need you to be loosed and bound. I need you to loose and to bind. This is what the church should be doing. We're so busy praying for people and trying to evangelize people, which is, amen, God bless all that. But at some point in time, sometimes we need to be loosing people and binding people. There's some people that need to be bound. We're not binding the powers that be. We're complaining about them. We're trying to fight them. Jesus ain't had nothing. All that, you know, God bless Paul. But they was all talking about fighting a good fight of faith. Jesus wasn't talking about fighting no fight of faith. Jesus said, bind on earth, loose in heaven. Loose on earth, loose in heaven. Bind on earth, bound in heaven. Loose on earth, loose in heaven. You say a thing and the decree ain't gonna happen. Ain't no fight. Ain't no tall. Ain't no wrestling. Right? But we believe that. So Jesus had talked like that. But now we see the church is mobile. We see the church is built off of revelation. We see it's mobile. We see it has we have the keys to unlock the gate so we don't have to be pushing and tallin', right? And then we should be binding and loosing. This is our process. Now, if we go on, he tells his disciples how it's going to happen. You can't function this way until you understand what comes next. And I don't want to, Jesus goes on and tell him what's going to happen and he's going to be killed and raised again the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, we quick to rebuke something that we don't think is the right way to go. Oh my God. If it ruffles our comfortability at all, we'll rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Peter began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be in the night. I just told you. You just told me I'm the Christ, and I just told you that I just defined the church to you. I just defined for you the process of how it goes. and you still have the nerve, the audacity, to come and tell me it should not be unto me. Verse 23, he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Now, I'm not talking about the offense I was talking about. My offense I was talking about was the going and the scoring and moving forward. This is a stumbling block. He says, why are you an offense? For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And if you really take some assessment of what's going on and what's been going on in the church as a whole, this is what's been going on. We've had too many man-made rituals and schedules and doctrines and just so many different things that we've come up with in ways that are supposed to look like this and supposed to dress like this. And we've come up with so many different things that we've been saved the things that be of men and not of God. And this is the Superman had kryptonite. This is the kryptonite to the church. This is the weakening of the church. Then Jesus starts describing it. He gives other, watch this. He's still describing the church here, verse 24. He's still describing the characteristics of the church. You find it right there. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So now here's the church. Denying self, taking up a cross to follow. Now, ain't nobody took up no cross that they're going to die. So it's really trying to tell you dying to yourself. Deny yourself and die to yourself. So this is the characteristic of church now. It says, for whoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's another characteristic. So another characteristic of the church is losing their idea of life. Losing what your whole little plan is and your whole little thing that you've already planned out. You praying to ask God to bless it, right? Losing that so you'll find the real blessing of what God, who God made you to be. For what profit is man that he should gain the whole world and lose also? What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? For the Son of Man come in the glory of his Father with his angels and shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So now he's explaining the whole church. We see now, so the church is revealed to the Father, revealed to him by the Father. It's a revelation. It is mobile. It is moving. Has keys so that gates can't prevail because you got the keys. You should be binding and loosing, right? Then it goes on and says, deny. So the church, those that are the church are people that deny themselves, are willing to take up the cross and willing to die for it. Right? Because whoever saving his life, now there's a lot of people that come to church, the church building, church organization, try to save their life. They're trying to get saved. And all they're thinking about is saving their life. All they're thinking about is saving themselves. They're trying to make their own life better, trying to have a better life for themselves and their family and children. And I get all that, but you can't even find that saved life until you lose the life that you've had. He's describing church. Right? But, those that come in don't know what to do because those that are in already are still doing the old ways. We're still praying for what we want. Matthew 6, I don't have time to go to it. I've been reading it over and over again. But verse 8 says, don't be like the hypocrites. You're praying on the street. You're trying to do your alms in front of people so they can see you. I was like, stop. Even for God to see you, stop. He see everything, right? He says, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. We've been coming to church and doing the same thing, asking the same thing, praying the same prayer, trying to get our needs met. And he says, no, lose that. And when you see, the reason you can't find your life is because you're holding on to the other one. The life that you're holding on to is blinding you. So that in chapter 7 starts talking about how you're going to get the mold out, how you're going to get the twig out your brother's eye. You got a beam in your own eye, right? Like, that's the problem. You can't even see yourself because you're still up there trying to get your prayers met. Lose your life. Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow. What profit a man to gain the whole world lose his soul? He described the church to us here. When we as the church begin to deny ourselves, realize that it's a revelation, realize that we're mobile, we're on the move forward, we're on the offense, we got the keys so the gates can't prevail against us, right? We should be binding and loosing things. We should deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him, lose our lives to find it, right? Not savoring the things that be of men more than we savor the things that be of God, right? When we begin to function like this, this is when the church moves from being usual to unusual. It's class, amen.